Well, I always appreciate the hearty welcome. It's really true that something great is happening. And I can tell that some of you realize something great is happening. It's not happening, of course, because I'm here. It's happening because He is here. And as I say so often, it's not happening because we are good, but it's happening because He is good. And something is really miraculously taking place. I was ministering yesterday to brethren for a number of hours there. I come in and went down to sit down in the basement there for a little bit, and wasn't anybody there. But I said, well, I'm just going to go sit down anyway because the Lord is wanting me to go down there and He'll send the ones along He wants me to minister to. And we were sitting there just for a few minutes. And of course, here comes brethren, and my, we had brethren everywhere. I had so many of them in just a little bit. We begin to minister to them. And Lord began to speak, and He began to say some wonderful things. As a matter of fact, I remember some that looked like they were so hungry and fed so good. And it was said that questions was answered has been rising up in the heart for a long time, wanting to know the answer. Of course, Christ is the answer. And it's just a matter of worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, coming into His presence and having His blessings. You can be seated. Always good to come back and find the mind of the Lord in the membership of His body and find the people's mind toward Christ to the extent that they're enthused about the Word of God. And when we're not enthused about the Word of God, it's very evident that we don't have the Word of God. No one can find the pearl of great price. No one. It has never been, it is not, and it never will be that anyone, but that if anyone finds the pearl of great price, they'll sell all that they've got to purchase that field. When you see that someone has not given up all of their life, all of their substance, all of their desire, all of their ambition, anytime you find one that has not done that, then that means they didn't find the pearl of great price. But there are some that are finding the pearl of great price. And because of that, they're surrendering and they're remembering what the Master said in His teaching, that we were to put down imagination and all these other things that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. The writer, having such great revelation from God, realized the greatness of the Word of God. And we were taught that we should cast down imagination. The whole world thrives off of imagination all the time. The mind is continually, it never stops. It is continually imagining things. That is to say, things are imagined upon the brain. And they are continually imagining things. and their hearts. The Bible said their hearts, their thoughts, their minds, that within the radius and confines of their minds, that their thoughts are continually evil. It never ceases, man or woman, from the time that they awake in the morning until they go to sleep at night, they're continually thinking evil. And when they go to sleep all through the night, if there's any stirring as to the mind, it'll be thinking evil. For their thoughts are continually evil. And the only thing that can offset that is one coming to God and receiving the infilling of the Spirit. And when that individual receives the infilling of the Spirit of Christ, then that doesn't mean that the evil thoughts are going to stop. It doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that there is something that begins to contest the evil thoughts. The evil thoughts doesn't stop. It's just as frequent and just as continual as it ever was. But there is something that has come to pass in their life that withstands those thoughts and fights against those thoughts. It rebels against those thoughts, and it hates those thoughts, and it is in constant warfare to eradicate, to cast down, and to bring into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought, until the whole mind is completely under the subjection of Christ as to that which hath preeminence in their life, not allowing Satan to reign not for a moment in their life. That doesn't mean he won't come, and it doesn't mean that the thoughts won't come as to him presenting himself, his cause, his wicked desires, but it does mean that he'll not have the preeminence as to reign or to control you or to rule over you, that he will be put down. He will be under subjection to the innermost mind, and he will be robbed of his power of regime. Let me say this, and we'll just drop a thought or two along in there. In the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, and in the 12th, 13th, 14th verse along in there, we're told that when the sixth seal was open, that as it was open, there was a great earthquake. And it tells us that the stars fell from heaven as a fig tree shaken of a mighty wind. And when it casts its untimely figs, and the heavens opened up as a scroll. Most of you are familiar with these scriptures in here because we've read them a number of times or quoted them to you. And the reason that I'm making a reference to this tonight is because of something that happened on this trip and something that we'll make reference to as we go along, if the Lord is willing. So I just want to call your attention to it. You go to read or study to where you can have something to kind of found your thoughts on. We are supposed to be the walking epistle of Christ, known and read of all men. And these things that are in the Holy Scriptures are supposed to be preeminent in our mind and supposed to have superiority as to control. And we're supposed to be the walking, living, talking epistle of Jesus Christ. Not just as to thoughts or words of expression, but indeed, our body, our very body is supposed to be a performance of the life of Christ, which has been conveyed to us through a word expression. The word expression from God's own bosom brings us the faith of Jesus Christ, in that the faith comes by the hearing of the word, and he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And so then that means that the thoughts of these words of spirit and of life is supposed to completely take control of us in such a way that we're swallowed up with ambition and desire for Christ and Christ only. Now, a little thought along here, we just speak one or two things to you tonight to exhort you. One of the problems that we have, and I think maybe I might have hinged on this before. I know I preached to you these things. I've talked to you about these things. And as it was said, I know that you know these things. But I feel that as long as I'm abiding in this tabernacle, I feel that I should stir up your pure mind, which is the Christ mind, within you to bring these things back to your remembrance. And so then we're ever rehearsing this in our spirit. We're ever talking about this. And Peter was one that always referred back to this body as a tabernacle. As long as I'm abiding in this tabernacle. And then saying again, if this tabernacle be dissolved, then we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. If it be dissolved, and of course it will be dissolved. It will be dissolved, or that is to say, knowing that within this vessel we're already, as to spiritual beings, the sons of God. Already, beloved, are ye the sons of God. John said, now, beloved, ye the sons of God. And already we are sons of God because the Father of heaven is a spirit. And the sons that he hath begotten are spirits that dwell in little houses of clay or abides within this building or this tabernacle. Whereas Paul uses the terms, you're God's building. And you're built up into a holy priesthood as a habitation for God the Great Spirit. For God liveth within you. And you're God's temples. And God dwelleth within you. And God walks within you. And one day God is going to make the whole world come and kneel at your feet. And make the world to know that God has loved you. And they're going to glorify God within you. And they're going to worship God in you. They will actually worship God in you because ye are God's temple. So, we could go on and bring in some scripture as to show where the worship will actually come. So then God is in the temple. And the Bible said, let all the world keep silent, for God is within his temple. And he is within you. He is within the flesh. He walks in the flesh. And if any person denies that Christ has come in the human body and lives in the human body today, or that is to say, if they should say Christ hath not come in the flesh, they are antichrist. Not just making a confession that I believe that God has come down as Jesus Christ into the world, or that is the Son of God has come. If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes. And the devil will acknowledge that there was a Jesus that came down into this world. But to deny that Christ is presently living within this human body is antichrist. You can be as religious as you want to, but unless your deeds express Christ, that is, unless your words, your deeds, your thoughts, all of your actions express Christ, to show that Christ is within you, then you're antichrist. Because if Christ is within you, he is that hope of that great glory of the change of this heavenly treasure within your earthen vessels. And he must be expressing himself at all times, like wisdom makes the man's face to shine. And he has to be expressing it. You have to be in stride toward heaven. And your bodily deeds must at all times be expressing the great wonderful illumination of that inward understanding. So if you don't express Christ, and if your being does express things of the world and the love of the world and the concern of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. But if Christ Jesus is expressed through you, that people can see that, then that means that that is Christ within the flesh. And your spirit is acknowledging Christ in the flesh. And that means that you're not antichrist. You're not a make-believe. You're not just going to church and making believe. But God is within you expressing himself. And Christ is being glorified within you. It's like while we were over in the islands, Betty and I was around the apartment there one day. And there was a black boy came in by the name of Clifford Williams. And he was around in there a few minutes. He had to do something. It's to maintenance. And we got acquainted, and I just spoke a word or two to him. And he said, he kind of grinned at me, and he said, "Y'all are Christians, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, we love the Lord." He said, "It shows, it shows." And that's what I'm speaking of. You know, if he's on the inside of you, then it's going to show, and you're going to be expressing Christ. Well, anyway, getting on with our thought here tonight. One of the things we have to remember, brethren, and just teaching you as children, trying to bring you up and as we admonish you as to the admonition of the Lord. We are children in the Lord. You're children of the Lord. And we have to learn the Word of God, and we have to understand the Word of God, because if we do not understand the Word of God, we will not have faith. I know, you know, it has been said, all you have to do is believe it. I know that's true. And I know the person that said that meant well, and I understand as to some degree what they were saying. And I'm not trying to be contrary, but I am saying one thing. You must understand the Word of God. I say this to you so often. It is not just that you hear the Word of God, but the Bible said you must understand the Word of God. Now, someone would say, "Well, what do you mean by that? The Bible said the righteous shall understand." Now, if that is what the Bible says, that means if you do not understand, then you are not the righteous. Somebody said amen. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Or correct the preacher. So then the Bible says that the righteous shall understand and the wicked shall not understand. For Jesus said it is not given unto them that are without to know or to understand the mysteries of God, but unto you it is given. And someone would say, "Well, I don't believe the mystery has anything to do with salvation, Brother Pine. Why then is it that Paul the apostle was given the mystery? Why did God bother to give him a mystery? Isn't that a waste of time to bother Paul with some kind of a mystery when nobody's going to listen at it and nobody's going to know it and nobody's going to understand it? Why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say?" The apostles said to Jesus, "Because it is not given to them that are without to understand the mystery of God, but to you it is given." If it is given to me to know the mysteries of God and to understand the mysteries of God, then why am I not, as we would say, applying ourselves, or I, myself, that I might understand the mysteries of God? Someone would say, "Well, I don't understand." Well, you need to get to be righteous. How can I do that? Someone would say. Jesus said you must be born again. If you don't get born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God does not come by human observation. Neither shall they say, "Lo, here is the kingdom," or "Lo, there is the kingdom." And if they say, "Thus and thus is even in the secret chambers," believe it not. For as when the lightning flasheth from one end of the heaven to the other end of the heaven, so shall the Son of Man be at his coming. See, so then it is something that has to be revealed. The lightning is already there within the clouds. The friction as to the atomic powers are already there. And those electrical forces as the little atoms are already there. And it's all interwoven with the clouds. And it's at certain times when these things begin to hit head on that the hot and the cold clouds begin to come together. That when they begin to come together, all of a sudden something starts happening. And when they rub together, there's war in heaven. And then things begin to flash. Thunder begins to roll. And the lightning begins to flash. Because Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Doing the storm, as we say, as to the war in heaven. Now, if he beheld him fall from heaven as lightning, why did he choose to illustrate that as with lightning? Why didn't he say that he saw him fall another way and that he was illustrated in another means as to typical? Why did he not do that? Because Satan is a spirit and Satan is a light. He is an angel. He is an angel, and angels are lights. And I make my angels spirits, and spirits, angels are gods. They cannot die. And so then he was showing us that lightning coming out, that was the fall of Lucifer. See, that was the fall of Lucifer. And then when we see this war in heaven, as these hot clouds and cold clouds coming together, that there's war in heaven. And Jesus made that specifically so that we would understand symbolically these things concerning him. Now, not trying to get too deep tonight, but it's trying to bring a little thought out. Do we understand who we are? Do we understand what we are? Or have we gone far enough in our stride toward Christ to make our calling and election sure? Have you done anything to make sure that you are the called of God? And have you done anything to make sure that you are the elect of God by foreknowledge? Have you confirmed anything as to your flight to glory, as we would say? See, why would there be a battle in heaven? Why would there be clouds? Why would there be lightning? Why would there be anything as to these natural things? There is a reason. There is a reason. Why then would we be recipients of these natural things? Why would we even have a natural mind? Why would we develop this? Why would there be a schooling, naturally speaking? Or why would there be any natural thing, even a natural you and me? Why? I say this a lot of times. It is because of God's program. It is because of God's plan. God, to express himself, to make himself known, to bring himself into the realms of visibility, he had to devise a plan. And in the full knowledge as his understanding, Paul said that God determined all these things. And he came up with this program in his mind. And he purposed all of these things within him own self, as to within his mind. And all these things were created, took place in the foreknowledge of God, or in the thoughts of God, back before the world ever was. Like he said to Job, where was you, Job, when I laid the cornerstone of the earth? Where was you when the sons of God leaped for joy? There at the foundation of before the foundation of the world. Where was you when the morning stars sang together? See, that is to say, where was you, Job, while the foreknowledge of Almighty God proposed these things, put these things together, planned these things, and started as an Alpha to the Omega, as to the point A to point B, and done all of these things, before he ever created the first thing to bring it into what you term is to be actuality, or to bring it into focus to be what you call reality. See, and God devising these things, it was a mind, it was a state of mind. It was something that he had done, for God is the light, God is the spirit, God is the great mind. He's that great mighty word of spirit and life. And the word is only something as to us as an expression, a vocal expression, as the air coming out of our tubes that causes vibrations is because it causes a disturbance, and then it creates what we call a sound as to disturbing the atom, the flow of the atoms, of the electronic flow of that which is about us. And then when that voice, it becomes a sound or as a voice, and that thing is conveyed over to us. Once it does that, once it comes to us, then we hear this, we record it by the ear as to the human senses, the sense of hearing, and we record it, and then it becomes a verbal thing, or it begins to vibrate here. And so then faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And then when it comes here, it enters into our heart. From there, it goes down into our heart. And as it goes down to our heart, into our heart as vibrations, then it's recorded within our heart or within the soul. The soul, if we had time to go into it to explain the soul. It goes into the soul. Now, remember the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell? What was that? The body was in the grave. Now, not to get onto that, because if I do, I'll get off of our theme, the theme of our thought here. So then, what do we mean when we say soul? What do we mean when we say so? What are we talking about? We're talking about the animal. We're talking about the beast. We're talking about humanity. Now, I know someone would say, well, oh, no, Brother Pike. No, animals don't have souls, but they do have souls. The Bible says that the animal has soul, and it goes down. And they have, through their scientific studies, run or trace their generation all the way back to to the old tree of knowledge. By knowledge, falsely so-called science, which means knowledge, they've traced their origin all the way back to the beast in the garden. Or that is, they say that they are beast and that they all come from beast. And I'm saying that that is true. And that was from the beast there in the garden. So they trace it all the way back. Well, in the end, as to the omega of the thing, the first thing you understand when you get into the revelation of the Lord is that there is going to be a head to that beast. And that beast is coming on the scene. And when that beast comes on the scene as to a headship of beast, all of the members of that beast is going to head up with him. From the very birth of Cain, and when the mark was placed upon him, and he was sent away into the land of Nod among the beasts. See, and a mark been put on him to keep the people from killing him like a common beast. From that time, the beast lineage had its origin, and it got started. Now, we could say a lot there because we'd have to differentiate between Adam as to the fallen and Adam, which was not the fallen, or between the masculine, who was a symbol or figure of him to come when he was illuminated as the first man Adam, and when the illumination left and why it left and what it had to do with. Like as when the beast said there, or Satan through the beast said, "Eat of the tree, it's good for fruit." And the Bible said, and when Eve saw it, she desired the fruit. And there is what we call the forbidden fruits. Because in human lives, there are fruits that ought not to be. Because there is a spirit that ought not to be. And it does give forth fruits. And the fruits of those thoughts will get into your heart. And God will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. For the thoughts are the means, while accusing or else excusing one another, as to perform the law or not to perform the law, as unto righteousness, in that the law is spirit. And the law is righteousness. But when it comes to the flesh can't perform that. And so then it brings death. But when it is performed by Christ in the body of Christ, as it has been and conveyed unto us according to the measure that we can receive it, then it seals our innermost spirit. It seals our soul unto the change of the body. Well, it was said unto them, God doth know that when ye eat thereof, ye shall become as gods. Because Satan was a god as to that of an angel, and yet a fallen angel. What kind of fallen angel? A ruler of the darkness. Meaning what? That he was the god of this world, of the intellectual powers of knowledge, science falsely so called, or that he is the god of this world as to human intellect and zeal toward inventions and creative things as to what we would call creative. Really, he can't create anything. But the created things that God made as to mind over matter, or a perverted mind that got controlled of matter through the weakness of man, because man had not as of yet learned anything at his fall. He did not know anything. He was like a baby, and Satan took advantage. So then he said, "Ye shall become as gods." And man did become as gods. See, to know good and evil, and when he become to know, it was required of him. That's why I use the term that when you come to the knowledge of the truth by means of the reflection of this grace that's given to you by the blood, the slain lamb from the foundation of the world, is from the foreknowledge of God, all of his works known unto him from the beginning, determined by the mind of God from the beginning. When you come to know that, then it is required of you. And then if you don't perform it, then the sentence of death is there. So there's no atonement for sin. Well, anyway, this is what we're saying. Now, when he said you shall become as gods, to know good and evil, then the first thing that was said, we have hid ourselves because we were naked. And then it was asked, who told you that you were naked? See, it had to be a derivative from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They already knew as to the blessings of God by their human senses. And they were in the presence of God because the light of God, which was God himself, the great light, was in the garden in the east part, or the corners, we would say, of Eden, a place called Eden. So it was called the garden that was in Eden, or the garden of Eden. Now, God, having made man out of the dust, put him in this garden and then illuminated him with his presence that he might meet man there. And in this illumination, which was the light of his understanding, it was to get him to a place to where he would be above the level of the beast as to that was created out of the dust, that he might look and see the tree of knowledge, which was a spiritual thing, an angel, Satan, Lucifer, and that he might also see the spirit, the tree of life, which was that of Christ. Now, the word of spirit and life. Why did he then go in reverse and take first that which was the tree of knowledge? Because that was the whole purpose of God. That was the whole plan of God. He had to subject the creature, which was the body, the feminine part that Eve showed through the type, when we say as a type of the body, while as to Adam, a type of the masculine, which was the spirit, which was not in the transgression. So God, having to show this, he made the woman as a type. See, and the man was not in the transgression to show that the spirit is not in the transgression, but the flesh, through the weakness of the flesh. Jesus himself said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So then, he wanted them to partake of the tree of life to live forever. But they could not do it to the extent they had to go through the processing. That is to say, as Paul said, if all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, then how could the invisible things of God be portrayed to a human being as to this level unless he learned? How could it be unless he learned? How does he know letters never having learned, someone said concerning Jesus? He was God. Everything emanated from him. See, he was the expression of all things, even made as the fallen one, as in the image of sin, to become a transgressor. Not that he was a transgressor, but to become so in the sight of God, through willingness to give himself to be made sin when he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That he might die for the transgression and we might live because we were free from the transgression. So it was obvious that what God had to do was subject mankind to darkness and run him through this channel of darkness. Run him through this channel from the time of the first man Adam over until the time of the second man Adam. And that would be darkness, intellectual darkness. And he made Satan to be the ruler of the intellect or the darkness. Or the Bible said because the angels kept not their first estate. I would say that this is the estate of someone out here at Bethlehem, or that's his estate over here. And they live on that estate now, or that has been willed to them. Or the angels had an estate of their own. But because they left their first estate and they displeased God, they were cast out into darkness. Satan was made the ruler of the darkness because out of his intellectual reasoning, he conspired against God because of his brilliance, because of magnifying himself and making himself to be something that he was only a reflector of. Now, the angels seeing this glory, they admired him, even a third part of heaven that fell with him. The very minute that he conceived of these things, his light went out. Like the Bible gives it as to one day when a man went out with all of his glitter and his glamour, and he was going to make a speech to the people. He went out to make the speech, and about that time he turned, and the sunlight hit him like that. And when it hit, it just brought a like a lightning and brought a great, glorious flash. And the people screamed out, "A God, a God." And it was said, because he gave not God the glory, then God smote him and the worms eat him up. So then Satan failed, becoming the ruler of the darkness or the prince of this world or the prince of darkness. He therefore today is the power of college and school and intellect and inventions. For God hath made man upright, but he hath sought out many wicked or evil inventions. And so then today, Satan, willing to make himself a heaven by the reflection, has sought out all these things for the convenience of the flesh. Therefore, if you follow that, then you have the love of the world within you as to money and conveniences and all these other things. And you are desiring as to the admiration of the flesh. And you are building yourself up in your own conceit and your own intellectual ability, and God will smite you. So, like the songwriter said, and we'll give the glory to Jesus and sing of his love. So, when I say these things, I'm saying that the Garden of Eden was a place of illumination. And God made man his equality as to the illumination, just like the blood on the seat of atonement today hath made man to where he can come into this wonderful, wonderful light of the glory and reflect it. And that's all that Adam did. He reflected. And Eve was in the original creation as long as she was in Adam, because he was the original creation. But when she was severed from his body, that did not mean that she wasn't in the original creation. But when she was severed from the body, then she drifted off over here and she lost her sanctification as to that of the light of that glory of that wonderful illumination, which was Christ, the image in which we are made. The man or woman emanated, all things emanated from that light, even Christ. See that morning star, that bright and morning star, which in reverse becomes the evening star. And a lot we'd have to say to show what we're saying as to the revelation. Well, anyway, as quick as she did that, she lost her sanctification. She got into the mind of Lucifer, and that meant that she was now defiled. See, and she was no more as to the original creation. She was doing her own thing then. And she became just a reflector. Just a reflector. When she persuaded Adam, it just meant that he had become one with her and lost that illumination of being one with God by the reflection. And now they were one as to the fallen, or which was not the original creation of God. That is to say, they were, as John said over there in one place, as Jesus said, John referred to it, of the wicked one, and Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And when Satan created as to reflecting or subdued or change about or perverted through a mind, through a light and understanding, taking control of that body, it became a perverted form, and it became the reflection as to a reflection. Adam saw the reflection gone as to the overshadowing of the illumination of the Shekinah, and there it was, the weakness of the woman, and it was no more. No more that great, wonderful light as to the innocency of Adam that gave him right to remain in the glory of God, or to become that as to a born again thing, as to being inwardly interwoven with the light. When the second man Adam come, he brought that light back. He was that light. It became an interwoven thing with the Spirit on the inside, and thus that's called the new birth. Because ye are sons of God according to the Spirit, because God is a Spirit. So then the illumination, even as it is today with the blood on the seat of atonement, and here we are in that same illumination today, because your body's never been changed. And it protects you, but it gives access to all of the world. And the beast part continues on. And they that have fallen from grace, they're under the law. And no flesh shall be justified by the law. But I'm saying this, when the devil says, ye shall be as gods, the next thing is that we hid ourselves because we are naked. Now, was they naked? Was Adam and Eve naked? They were naked. Then someone would say, as we have spoke to you before, they had been naked all the time. They had not had on any garments. As far as human eyes, they had seen each other as naked. There was no disgrace there. Adam was looking at his own flesh, at his own body. Is there then a disgrace because you look at your own flesh or your own body? Of course not. That would be ignorance. So then there was no nakedness. That was just his body. And there was no nakedness as he looked, because that was his body. There was no lust. That was his body. It was a love. There, the Bible said, love your wife as yourself. Why? Because she is yourself. And you should love her that way. Nobody's going to mistreat himself. But he is very cruel a lot of times as to the man, to the woman. And see, that isn't the way that Christ loved the church. The Spirit, which is Christ, loves the body, which is the church, so much that he gave his blood out of his vein, so that he could woo the body to the extent that it would become one with the Spirit. and change that body into a quickening spirit, that it might be preserved forever, because that was his life. That was his heart. That's his glory. Man is the glory of God, just like woman is the glory of man.
So, the glory expressed as a human form. Now then, were they naked? Yes, they were naked. And then they were ashamed. Before they'd not been ashamed. What had caused that? They had taken of the knowledge. The knowledge. They'd never had knowledge before, neither of good or evil. But they had the knowledge of good to the extent that they were getting the benefits of that which is good, until they could come into the knowledge of God and what had really given to them by going by the way of the Spirit of light. But God being the invisible, and there was no way to express himself other than it takes darkness to reveal light. Because like as it is said, you cannot see light. Light hath all the colors of the rainbow, the attributes of the beauty. But you cannot see that unless even the prism be smitten, and then the refraction of light to bring the spectrum, even as to the colors. So we see then God, the great wonderfulness as to that which was so wonderful, even the beautiful lights of color, was within the confines as to that that our eyes could never see. Even the light that appeared unto Paul, and when Paul desired to see it, he went blind. It went blind. So the only way that God had of letting us see it was through Jesus Christ, as to that stone that had to be smitten to bring the refraction of light, to bring the spectrum which would reach over from the 483 that Daniel spoke of over to the 7 and make that heaven or the expression of the light, or as it would be that angel with one foot on the land and sea in between the 483 and the 7 and his hands raised to heaven, and as Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, or that is the end of time. So with that, the church ages are heaven, that is to say by grace. And while he was standing there, as to that angel, it showed that the rainbow was about his head, which of course had to do with Jesus. And had to do with the 7 church age messengers coming in down through that dispensational time, when we say time, down through that dispensational time, see, until it could be revealed to us that it wasn't time at all. It was said, and time shall be no more. And it was said that the law until the promised son should come, or the son as to whom the promised hath been made. This great mighty light had to express itself through a devised plan of projection. And he had to do it by means of darkness. God veiling himself in darkness. Well, that means the light, which is understanding, coming to us through a thought that we refer to as a thought, a human thought, which means as to the old mind of Lucifer coming through the beast to form thought. In a beast, which the world is. They all are beasts. All of them in their first birth, they have the spirit of foolishness within them. And all of them are in darkness. And what God had to do, he had to subject what is referred to as the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part, your spirit, to magnify it sevenfold light, as to bring it through the church ages. So to magnify it 7 times up to a sevenfold light, bringing it down through the church ages, he had to do this. As to when Peter opened the door, looked beyond the veil was rent and the door was open in heaven, because Jesus said, I am that door, and the veil was rent in twain. And there when it was rent in twain, it's to 483 and 7, and here heaven was. And then from there, as Calvary, it's been heaven. Everybody dwelling in heaven, even the devil himself, by living, the devil living within the human body, using this grace as to the blood that was on the seat of atonement and the foreknowledge before the world ever was, God allowed it to be there for the spirit that had to be darkness, whereas he would subject light as to the sons of God by foreknowledge, subject them to the body through this darkness, run them through this channel of learning, which is intellectual darkness, and Satan being the god of that as being the mind. Well, anyway, it runs on down to Calvary before he rends that veil of the flesh, which is the veil of death, that intellectual thing of the woman that was taken into captivity. Just like now, the shell of the earth is beginning to slip, so that the inner part can remain the way it is. So the shell slips, as scientists are saying, it's slipping. Right now we see floods.
Right now, we're finding out there's all kind of earthquakes. There's all kind of problems with the weather. Because the moon is supposed to have control of the tide, and we could say a lot concerning that. And as to why the stars will fall, why the moon will become as blood. See, but we can't go into even a fraction of that tonight because of just these other few little things that we're trying to get said. So then you are subjected to learning. The creature, the body, hath been subjected to vanity, or made subject to vanity, or become the subject of intellectual reasoning, or the subject of Lucifer. So then being subjected to vanity, that is to be put there and subjected to the extent that they can go either way, right or wrong, their sovereignty. That's what it takes to make a God. And for them to be able to comprehend the invisible and comprehend God, they had to learn as to the shadow of all things. Paul said all these things are types and shadows. All these things are allegoric. Even Sarah shows New Jerusalem, and Hagar shows Old Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with the children. That is, it answers to Mount Sinai. So when he saw these things, then God, the great Spirit, as he walked on the way with the disciples, going on into a house with them, then these things was put within them. And Paul, being that Christ before, being a Jew, and then coming to that as the Christ, the veil was moved as to the body, and the persecutor Paul was taken away, and then it was Christ. And with that, this came to be in the church ages as preached through the dimensional thing of the seven church age messages. Or as Christ walking on the way to Emmaus, here he spoke with them and revealed these things, going back to the Old Testament, or unveiled these things to say, and here it is. Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Paul, as to Christ looking back beyond the veil and looking beneath the veil of the law of the intellectual reasoning of that which was the teaching of the Old Testament as to the Jews, saw that it was a spiritual thing. And that New Jerusalem was already there. And that those lively stones were already there. And that Jacob and the 12 was just a type of Jesus and the 12. As to show this thing in one stage as to the veil of the intellect of Lucifer, as to one mind, and then to unveil it by the rending of the veil, and then to show it in the perspective of the light as to Christ, the unveil with the 12 apostolic leaders who became spiritual people. Jesus and the spiritual leaders, in that Jesus was a spirit. See, so then we know that this is a different age. This is a day of grace. This is heaven. Everybody is in heaven because of the rent veil. And because of this wonderful grace has been poured out, Jesus has taken away the sins of the world. We know that something has happened, already happened. And we're just now coming to the understanding. We're just now coming to the light of it. What can you say? We're just now coming to our generation as to Calvary. And this generation now has come to Calvary. It's just been born into the world, as we say, and now it's coming to its Calvary. And it must acknowledge as to beyond the veil, Paul being the overseer as to that one that was caught up beyond the veil and saw these spiritual things as being Christ, the capstone of this, or that great light. That great light as to the fullness of this light, proportionally coming up, condensing until finally the capstone of crying, grace, grace. Jesus came to capstone all of this as to that that was in the natural, which was the pyramid city within the veil. And the Jews did not accept Jesus as the prophet likened to Moses. So then they did not accept it. 7 years taken away from the 490 left 483, and it was deferred as to the capstone way over here on the other side of the church ages, that when Jesus comes during the tribulation after the church ages, coming to the Jews, they will accept him, for there will be Moses and Elijah. And when they do, that capstone that they rejected, the stone that Jesus spoke of in the parable, the same having become the head of the corner, all of a sudden there it will be. And they will accept him as to the nail print, and the seven will go back to the 483, finishing the 490 of the prophetical utterance of Daniel and what the angel had said. See, and thus that will be capstone as to what the Jews said, and then the 7 years of the earthly part will be finished as to the 490 years, or the 7 years of tribulation will be finished to the extent now the whole 490 years is complete and they have accepted their Messiah. And it will be an earthly perspective, because the heavenly perspective as to the church ages will be
over. The church will have already been capstone as to the spiritual pyramid city by Christ, even as it was Paul in the natural and changed to Christ when the veil was taken away to show the Jesus and the Christ. When it showed the Jesus and the Christ over here in the earthly perspective as to the Jewish side of it, then the veil was put away. It was put away. And then away went the Spirit. But during the time that the Spirit was within the body, imprisoned, as you would say, within the confines of that which was made like unto you and I as to the fallen, then the body had the preeminence. Over here, when it's Paul, it's just in reverse. The body is put away and the Spirit is magnified as to the overseer Christ that is capstoning the spiritual Jew as to the spiritual pyramid. Well, anyway, like I said, we just have to take a lot of time and bring that out step by step and detail it. We've been tutoring today quite a lot to some folks. Quite a lot. And it's up about all night last night. But still, the mind is clear, the spirit is clear, the words are clear, but I have to take a lot of time. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. And we have to learn to be still in our spirit and gentle. And the man of God has to just flow right into the spirit and just let God take his time. And then everybody is together. But if I hurry to try to tutor just the least bit of press, the least bit, then the mind of Christ doesn't hurry. And then my mind will get things frustrated, or your mind will get things frustrated, because the carnal, intellectual, natural mind in just your present everyday state of mind is enmity with the great spirit. It's not subject to that. It's no life. There's no life in the intellect. So then when we're looking at it, we suddenly realize that something great is taking place that would take hours and hours to go back over what I'm saying and detail it and put it all in line to bring it into focus to where we can believe or grasp or comprehend this wonderful thing that we're saying. But we don't have time to do that with the impatience of the people and the problem of the people and the unlearnedness of the people and being in the condition that they're in, that all day long their thoughts are evil and they're thinking on the natural thing, that they can't get this. It gets into a conglomeration of a problem to them. And yet the church change is here, because the revelation is the change that is to what you say the rapture is to be. And it certainly has nothing to do with the rapture in the sense that the word rapture means caught up. And this thing that God's doing is a work before anything happens about a rapture. So, this is, as the simple terminology, the rapture for you that can understand. And no one can understand unless it's given to them to understand. Because for years here, we've tutored a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time, to try to bring you to this as to moving toward the fullness of this thing that will be the change of the human body. Well, anyway, going back to what we said there in the garden, and so then they were naked. Why was they naked? Because they had left the illumination, or lost the illumination of that Shekinah image, which was Christ. And it was a covering of his glory. And he said later through the prophetical utterance, he said, you cover with a covering, but it's not of me. That is, you lost my covering. You lost in your spirit. You lost this Shekinah illumination that illuminates you to this great, wonderful, revelational light. You lost this. I withdrew from you. And then you had to be covered with another covering. And your covering is darkness as to an intellectual covering. So then God is within darkness because you put him within the radius of darkness. We use a little illustration a lot of times as to the little black widow. The widow eats her husband, so she is a widow. And it is shown as a little foolish thing to confound the wise, in that the things of God are foolishness of the natural mind. And it's a contest between the two that interferes with this wonderful radiance of the flow of this light. See, but there's the black widow, the fall of mankind. And Eve had eaten up her husband. Through her foolishness, she had subdued him to that mind. And he was now within the confines of that mind. But being innocent to the extent that he was the head, and he did not understand anything, he was like a baby, and Satan had taken advantage through the weakness of the flesh. And so then, where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. Therefore, they were protected, even as the Jews, when they were cut off. Paul said they were protected because they did not understand. Therefore, he can reach and bring them back in, because they were blinded in part. has to know in the Messiah, and a lot of things that we could say as to having to do with the part. So then the black widow devoured her own husband. And then there was a little red spot that was put on the black widow. And this little red spot indicated as to the blood on the seat of atonement from the foreknowledge. That during the time of this darkness, this intellectual confines of the soul and life, having as to the candle of the Lord, the breath of life within the confines of this darkness, and went all the way down to Calvary. See, the spider takes hold with its hand, and it's in king's palaces. So it went all the way down, and then the light returned, this time not as an illumination as to the saints, but it went into the saints. For them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, great light has sprang up unto them. And the region of the shadow of death meant that intellectual overcast of the sentence of death that was in the body, which we need a lot of time to explain of what it is and how it is, how it got in and all these kind of things. But there it was, and now that veil was to be rent. And so then, what was to happen? Out of the woman was to come man, because woman had swallowed up man. At first, the woman come out of a man, but now the man had to come out of the woman because she had swallowed it up. So then when it comes to Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. He made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, and he divided the spirit from the body as to the man and the woman, as to the darkness that come over Jesus, as to taking the church out of Jesus, the second man Adam, because it was the same way with the first man Adam when darkness came over him as to sleep that represented death when Eve was taken out of him. So then we see that the black widow there as to the veil, destroying the darkness and the evil, doing away with it, and the law and the prophets as to that blood that was the covering, which indicated the blood of bulls and goats, or the blood of the first life. That is the life that was within the blood, in that it indicates that that is why life has to be released from the blood, that the beast be killed, the blood be spilt, and the life released. Otherwise, there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood, because life has to come out of darkness. And as the preacher has the power to remit or to retain, so it was at Calvary, as my Father sent me, so send I you. And that indicates that when the preacher, not them speaking, but Christ, remits your sins, you've accepted Calvary, and that darkness is now gone. It is forever gone. And that, as to the covering over the tabernacle, as to many things that we'd have to explain here, as to the cloud, with, as we say at night, seeing the lightning or the fire within the cloud, or that that we saw in the vision, with the pillar of fire, and the fire left as in the daytime, when the cloud came down, and many hundreds and thousands of things is involved in those things. But then when that went away at Calvary, the darkness was now over. These that sat in the regions of the shadow of death was no more. There was no intellectual blindness within them as to the ignorance of them that had not received this light. But now the light of the world was here, even Christ, the fullness of that light within a human body, as to a personification that we might, through intellect, comprehend God, who was shown by the deeds of Jesus, going about and doing good and healing all. So we know now who our God is, what our God is, how our God reacts, and now we see him through our understanding, comprehending God. And so then we comprehend all things through the learning that we go through down through the ages as to the past generations, and this understanding, not understanding, but knowledge passed on to us. And then when we get this knowledge, all of a sudden, then the light comes, the veil of that knowledge is rent as to our day, our Calvary. And then when this veil is gone, we look, and there is the light. And here we are, the light of the world, in that Jesus went away, and the Spirit is now by measure within us. We're not looking through the glass darkly as to the veil of that which is the fallen of that intellectual mind of darkness and death, the sentence of death within the body, the old intellectual mind. See, but we are without the veil, and we're looking as it would be into a mirror. That is, we are looking right into the face of Christ as to the revealed glory, something that Moses could not do. He could only look at the hinder part, and the Bible said as to that light that appeared, he had to put a veil over him
because the children of Israel could not steadfastly look unto the end of that which was abolished, which was this great wonderful light that Paul saw as he rent the veil when the scales fell from his eyes and became our overseer as Christ to the church to capstone this great pyramid city of the light. So it's very obvious in what we're saying is that when Calvary came to the dividing of the twain, which we're not going to try to get into, some of you understand some of that anyway. See, it was now that we were looking into the very light of that glory of God Almighty. Into the very light. And that light is a power of expression that said, let there be and there was. And so then it recreates and it changes us as we behold the light through the expression of that great wonderful emanation. As to that light emanating from Jesus Christ through the rent veil, and we behold the glory of the unveiling as to that veil that was over the face of Moses, which was the prophet that pointed to Jesus Christ. So then it's very obvious that as to what we're saying, brethren, as to the unveiled glory of his face, we're changed thus by transformation of mind from glory to glory or precipitation to precipitation of this light. And now the light within our spirit interwoven seals us from darkness. And the body is now dead as to the separation of the body from the spirit by the works of Jesus Christ, that we don't have any more death, any more sorrow, any more of the curse, any more problems, any more sickness. All of that's now gone. Simply by believing in our benefits in Christ or believing unto righteousness with our heart. It's eradicated, it's conquered, it's gone. And we thus find ourselves in heaven. What is that? Enoch, the seventh from Adam, a type of the church, being translated into the glory of God that he should not see death. The transformating of the mind, the translation of the spirit into Christ's spirit, the transformating of the mind over a progressive period of time into the mind of Christ, and then the instantaneous revealing of this heavenly treasure, which is within our earthen vessels, into our mortal genes, to the transfiguration of the body becoming a spirit, even as that of Jesus, on the mount in glory with Moses and Elijah. So where are we? As he is, so are we. Where is he? He is at the right hand of the Father. Who is he? He is the body, it's to the church, the head of that body. Then who are we? Whatever he is, whatever he's always been, whatever he shall always be, as he is, so are we in him. And that was God perfecting us. Sin by one man unto death, righteousness by one man unto life. So we could not help it as unto death, neither can we do anything about it as unto life. It's him that has done it all. We discover it through the revealing, and we praise God as to the faith within his finished love and work toward us to make us what he wants us to be, merely by his love to the extent of redeeming us by his own blood. Now, so we have to go through the learning, which is the intellectual darkness, before we can ever have a mind of learning to comprehend the invisible God, which is a light. So all of the natural things in the earth is only a forerunner of a shadow of those natural things that shows us that great spiritual world of that spiritual city of the spiritual life that had to come through the veil down to the sons of God, as to them that would come to pass in the end time, that in that sixth day God made man. Well, anyway, we could go on and go on as to say this. Adam and Eve was naked because they lost their Shekinah covering. When Christ came, he did not illuminate them when he came back. He became interwoven in their spirit. He did not illuminate them as the illumination of the overshadowing of the body. He didn't do that, though he did with marriage to bring forth. So the verbal inspiration as the quickening was as to interior. And then came the Christ as to the body. Now, so brethren, the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit, strictly from the inspiration of the quickening that went directly to the vagina to bring forth the Son of God. Now, one is the will of man is to a quickening by human nerves and sensation, as from the loins of man. The other is strictly from God as the act of creation, a new blood cell, that there might be a new blood. And Jesus, as to the beast body, emptied out the blood that was shown as a type. That is, that it was typical to show that the blood of the beast had been spilt. Jesus becoming the beast as to his human body and becoming the serpent.
showed that even as Adam the first, the form, and it was smitten. Then the second man, Adam, as to the spiritual, which was really the first, Jesus Christ the first in all things, being restored and coming, and when he come, he freed man. He freed man by the dividing of that with making within himself twain. So it shows, as we would say, the Gentile and the Jew, and it would take a long time to go into that about the spiritual Jew and one being as to the body, as to the natural Jew. Well, when they lost that, they could not fellowship God. They were blind. They could not see then until the light came again. And when the light came again, Jesus referred to even the Jews, which were religious. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But beloved friend, if your eyes have come open as to the scales that fell from Paul's eyes, then you are not blind as to intellectual wandering, in that the ignorance that's within you, which was handed down through the tree of knowledge, is not there. Because it's eradicated with the brightness of his coming. And with the brightness of his coming, Satan, who tries to set within the temple the body of Jesus Christ as to the intellectual through that, as to said, where Paul said, there is no good thing within the flesh. He is destroyed with the brightness of the coming, or the eradication of that which is your own human reasoning as a self-exaltation. And then there is the light. As to this innermost being, as to the day star revealed within you, over the horizon of the interior of your heart and your life. So then we find that now the light has come. Arise and shine, for the glory of God has risen upon you. And we're not blind. The scale is gone. See, that is, we're not looking through the glass darkly. Well, there would be thousands of things, beloved, that we would have to say to break it down. Go over every bit of what we said and break it down and put in so many, many fillers and put it all together as a puzzle for you to be able to understand. But you that can understand, as just putting a little framework there, you can have the Spirit. He'll guide you into all truth and righteousness. Go back and pick up all these things and put them all in place until you can just take that as it would be the puzzle and show it to somebody in such a broad way until there'd be no mistaking. Even the little children could see it to the extent that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings he hath perfected praise. Let's stand together. I didn't mean to take quite so long, and even with this, I just had to condense until I don't know how much you got as to understanding, but I know that you got some, maybe 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever, but I know that God has shared with you. And that's the thing that is important. When I read from what I read from, I want to make reference to while we were in the islands, it was very significant, and we don't have time to comment on it tonight. Maybe we will a little later. But while we was over there, all of a sudden, within the apartment, we heard a sound as to a shotgun, like somebody was killing someone. We ran out, and it fired two or three times and kept trying to look for it in the dark, as to a number of us. And when we found out what it was from a ship right down below where the sea was right there, almost in our door. It's a little walk, and it was thundering away, and it was spitting out balls of something that went up into the heavens like these fireworks that you get. So huge, and it was. As they went up, they just burst and spread everywhere like little stars scattered everywhere. And then the little stars that would scatter everywhere would just bust and just sprinkle in every way, light, and some of them in color. Well, this went on for a good little while, and we were just almost struck with awesomeness as we stood and looked. And I said, Betty, this has got a meaning, because I knew going over yonder had to do with a great thing. Well, we saw it, and then after that, we went back into the house. It went on for a long time. I don't know how many thousands of dollars was spent as to putting on this great thing as a shell. When we got back in that night or somewhere in the morning, I had a night vision. As far as I know, it was that same night. And when I saw, I looked, and it was as the heavens was filled, and the same thing was happening in almost identically. And there it was in the vision, and the heavens was literally filled, but instead of little stars being shot up and then exploding, it was actually the heavens filled with little stars everywhere, the stars that we see in heaven. And all of a sudden, they were just bursting all to pieces and sprinkling the light, and the whole heaven was a conglomeration of beauty. And I saw people, and I saw people being scared and nervous and
trying to break into tears. It was so tore up. And I said, don't let your heart be troubled. We're supposed to love His appearing. And they were so tore up because it was the coming of the Lord. And I told my wife that I felt like it had a meaning as to the coming of the Lord. Now, and at the same time, along about that time, they had the shower of stars over here, where these stars actually was falling from heaven. And then at the same time, little Paul across the way had his little scope, and he saw Saturn. He'd been looking for it for a long time, and he saw Saturn, and there it was. And I believe he made the expression, he was just so nervous and whatever, he just had to lay down on the ground. But it was John Paul, speaking again of the revelation. And there it was, see, the casting out or the fall of Satan and the third part of the stars falling. And there it was in symbolics over there in that paradise-like place as to the war in heaven. And we were seeing it as to the booms and all these kind of things. And the hollering and the screaming of them things going through the air. And people and standing in awe and hollering and going on. And there as we beheld it, like the thunder and the popping. And the stars falling, and I said, Betty, this is like fire raining down from heaven. And if it just come a little lower, it would strike these buildings. And whether we shot up real high, some of them a little lower. And there it was showing us something. See, all these things taking place. And here we are. What is it? There's something fantastically taking place. Even as I said today to some of them, going over to Kentucky, as we go over to Kentucky, there's supposed to be this has a turn of event that's great and mighty with something that's real wonderful and outstanding in the world of spirit. See, and it has to do with that because that's Brother Branham's home place right in there where we'll be going, and also Abe Lincoln's home place. Some of you that go may want to go up and see Abe's home place. It's right there, not very far away where they have these steps and whatever. And Brother Branham's home place is just over the hill there from where we'll be. So there's a great, wonderful thing that's taking place up near Suff as well as to these things that's coming together. And my, we'd love to elaborate on it, but it takes so long to say such little as to this revelational mystery, for great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. And we are made stewards of this wonderful mystery. And we have to push and shove and hurry and just get you together, you know, in such a way that it's so grievous to us to try to preach to you having this little time, not because you aren't reverent, not because you don't respect us, but because many of you don't understand that we can't take 45 minutes and preach something that should take 10 years. You can't do it. You can't do it. As a matter of fact, Paul, after learning all of his life, went away for over 3 years into the Arabian desert just to get those things revelated to where he could understand enough to go back and begin to get the church on trail. So then this makes it very difficult for us, very difficult, and especially going as we go and then going through all these seizures as being up all night long and ministering to people all day long, one or another, with so many people asking questions and trying to give our body without reservation as a living sacrifice unto God to continually be the expression of God in the earth as to the best of our feeble ability or of our ability as a human being, which is such a minute sort of a thing as comparatively speaking to the great, speaking of the great mighty God of Almighty. You know. So then this means that we're doing our very best and doing our little and stumbling and staggering along, trying to get a little rest to do whatever, like Jesus on the boat when he fell asleep. And then they said, Master, Master, wake up. Carest thou not if we perish? And Jesus was so tired and weary from doing what he had done, and whether it was staying up or whatever, and he was just trying to get a little rest. And he said, O thou of little faith. Walked out and commanded the elements. Why? Because he knew he was the commander. He knew that he was the mind of Almighty God in a human body. And it was mind over matter. It's not per se, as this is a hypocritical side of life as a sign, falsely so called. But he was the mind from which all matter had emanated. And that he was a controlling factor of it. And Satan was the problem in it. Interrupt the form of matter as to its regular routine is to bless mankind. And he just More or less said, devil, get out of the way and stop your foolishness, or get behind me, Satan. Or as he said when he looked up and he said, peace. And he looked down at the waves and said, be still. See, and it all stopped like that because he was the commander. And so then you being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, ye are the commander. Say what you will. Decree it in your heart. Let it be so. Come to the understanding that you might come to the faith of the hearing of the understanding. And then believe with all of your heart and commit your body to a daily sanctification as to your efforts to sanctify the body, that it might be partakers of the divine sanctification which is already within you, the heavenly treasure that's made manifest in your mortal genes as to your efforts to receive whatever measure that you will. See that you might dispense that to the people. And keep everything in order, because the sons of God are here. Already the sons of God. And they're ready to be unveiled as to the light of the eradication of that which is the outward. And Satan is warring and fighting. He's upset because he is losing all of his power in his kingdom. And we are, as to the sons of God, now, beloved, we are the sons of God, as the songwriter said. See, and we are taking control to rule with the rod of iron. And all forms of matter is subject unto us. And with this, you cannot die because you're eternal. You've already passed from death unto life. You cannot lose your youth. That's impossible. You cannot age. That's impossible. You cannot die. That's impossible for you to die. See, and these other things, these things are because you fail to believe and fail to learn so that you'll know so you can believe. And then fail to subject your body to an endeavor of a continual aggressiveness toward the kingdom and against the kingdom of Lucifer. See, you fail to do that so you don't get the benefits. And having the knowledge of God at hand, you die like men when you're gods, made to be eternal. So there's nothing to do but change the body through your own willingness of self-submission to what's called a sacrifice as a living effort or sacrifice to God. See that this body, that the heavenly treasure might be made manifest in your mortal genes, to stop all this foolishness of aging and to stop all of this foolishness as being put in caskets. Why should you put a living person in a casket? Or just because somebody went to sleep, why would you cover him up with dirt? Like I heard today as it was, some man maybe 30 years old, some people had went and got him and put him in a casket and covered him up with dirt or buried him alive in whatever they put him in for 15 days, was it, or something, that he had been under the earth. How many? 12 days. Okay, 12 days. Somebody said 15, but anyway, 14, 15. Shortly, 12 days. See, God had to work a great miracle. But he can do that like in the belly of hell, as with Jonah. See, and when they took him out, I understand he was still alive. Somehow God had prevented suffocation. Now, why should they bury a live man? Are ye then the living or the dead? Why should we look for the living among the dead, Jesus said. See, or the angel said. Why should we do that? Jesus is not here, he hath risen, as the angel. And he is the living. He's not among the dead, because to Christ all live. And therefore, if they that are in the world are dead in trespasses and sin while they live, why then should we look for the living among the dead? Are ye then the living or the dead? We are the living. Therefore, is it necessary to bury the living? And we'd have to go into a great revelation to bring that as to what Paul said. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Well, let's sling a little course together, and after that, we'll let you go. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me? For my rest. It is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Now sing it like this one. Far I've anchored my soul.
rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep about over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus we are safe evermore. I need thee, my Lord. The altars are open. If you'd like to come, the altars are open. I need thee now, precious Savior. For oh, how I need thee. Sing this with me now. So don't turn him away, so don't turn him away, for he has come back to your hearts once again. So sin to stay, for oh how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear that loving voice, and don't turn him away. Let's sing this little chorus together, little Taylor. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten, at come a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten, if you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road, trouble in my soul, I was carrying a heavy load, looking for the day it would end. An old preacher came a-calling one day from the ready pew words. Now I can say that I'm happy on my way, came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer. One more time. So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I come a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten when I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Well, let's lift our hands up together tonight. Let's sing this little chorus. Take the few words that was said tonight, though we had to condense them. It makes it a little difficult for some of you to coordinate these as two thoughts. But just remember what we said at the first of the service and add this little bit to it.
that there are three minds, as we brought out sometimes. We'll elaborate on it a little more. But these three minds have to use the same brain. So when these thoughts come to you, remember, man's thoughts are continually evil. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. And there's a continual warfare between that Christ mind that's within you as to the innermost spirit and that mind that's in your flesh as to the fallen, as to the spirit of foolishness. And when this mind comes to you and it talks with you as to the evil mind of Lucifer, the unclean mind, the subduing mind, just remember that inwardly you are not naked. Your spirit now has the wonderful Shekinah covering of His glory. The covering of His glory, the prophet called it. And now His glory is risen upon you as to the revelation of the times, that it might change your body, that you might not sleep among the dead. Because when Joshua crossed the Jordan, sleep was over. Well, anyway, just remember when these evil thoughts come and you try to shake them out of your mind, you can shake your head, you can say what you want to, you can do what you want to, but it's like they're interwoven with your flesh because they are to the extent that you haven't been changed. But that never touches your spirit unless you make allowance to excuse that thought that it might have freedom in your life. But if you accuse that thought by the word to rebuke it and excuse as to accept the thoughts as to the mind of Christ and virtue and purity, then your thoughts become the means while else accusing or excusing one another as to the fulfillment of the law, as to bring the righteousness of God or Christ into your spirit, as to a seal that can never be penetrated, in that you cannot sin because the law is fulfilled within you and transgression of the law is sin. And you cannot transgress the law because you're perfected in Christ. Therefore, you cannot die. Well, remember that these three spirits uses your brain, your spirit, which is an angel, having right to your body. Lucifer's spirit, which hath no body, for angels doesn't have a body. I want to present you body, soul, and spirit to God. You do have a body as an angel and a right to the body and the natural things. Angels do not. They were given an estate as to the fallen angels. They left their estate and they're trying to get into your estate through the body to receive as to these inspirational feelings. And it brings death and it takes your soul as the beast, a living soul, down. And when the good angels come, they work on your human senses as to an inspirational thing, as to lift you up. That is becoming a quickening spirit and not a living soul. You are sealed off from death because the soul that sinneth will die, and you cannot sin because you are now a quickening spirit and we're waiting for the change of the body as to the proof of this body already having been redeemed at Calvary, covered by the blood and the iniquity taken away. So we are now moving toward the purchased possession. Not to get into preaching on that, but remember those thoughts have to use your brain or those spirits. And it's up to you to allow the use of your brain by excusing or else excusing. And out of those minds, as to the thoughts, that is life or that is death. It's within the tongue as to the words, as within the thoughts. And with this, you are fed the fruits of whatever spirit it is, as to the fruits of your thoughts. And you are, as scientists say, whatever you feed off of. Well, let's sing another little chorus. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more, and time shall be no more. Sing that with me now. So time shall be. Remember now, time is a derivative of shadows.
time to be born and a time to die. And all of these things has been a shadow of that which was to come. Not the very image, and could never make the comer thereunto perfect. And the rising of the day star is to the coming light, eradicates the shadow of night, that the death be dispelled. The death of the powers of that which seeks your life, because death is intellectual darkness. With this light now, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. For now unto them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death, great light is spring up. All the revelation is now here. See, and it came at Calvary. You're just now beginning to comprehend it as coming to the end of the church ages, or as to your day, which is the generation that hath Calvary in this hour. And with every generation as to their day and their Calvary. They had it according to the measure. And now here we are as to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, and the light to rise sevenfold, to melt the glaciers of that which is on the mountains in Alaska and around the world, to eradicate the waters that nourish the valley, to keep the streams to where the valley can be watered and everything is being cut off. And the waters are now spilling out of the reservoirs of the rivers. And with the water spilling out of the reservoirs of the rivers, then that means that something is taking place. And ye are the children of light. Now, this is the condemnation that has come into the world. That men love darkness. That is, they love the intellectual education because it fits their way of frolics and inventions and doing the things that they are basely want to do because their thoughts are continually evil. And now the light of understanding to show that up and tell them that that's wrong has come into the world. And the condemnation upon them now is that they love the darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and they won't come to the light that their deeds be made manifest, for that which is manifest is light. And that means that now there is condemnation to them, which means there can be no faith where there's condemnation. And the law thus becomes their death. And that which was ordained unto life, which you have fulfilled by the Spirit of Christ and willing submission, now that law has become death unto them to bring condemnation. But there's no condemnation within you who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, because the flesh is now dead by Calvary, and you're free from that, and ye are they that dwell in heaven. So how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that tells you of this wonderful eternal life. Not religion, not coming to church, not people that are so ignorant that they don't understand, that's under condemnation and cut off into death, that say, well, I don't understand, or say, I don't see nothing in it. Not those ignorant people that come with hostility and come with fault finding, that's cut off in death, that will never see light or never come in to light. They'll always be into condemnation and unbelief because they'll never understand. You're not those children. You're children of light. You shall never come into condemnation, because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. And you're not in the flesh. Your body's dead and your spirit went back to God who gave it. It dwells in heaven. And that means there's no condemnation to you, and nobody can lay anything to your charge. You are free. Ye are they that dwell in heaven. And there is no condemnation to you whatsoever. You are eternal. Not going to be. Ye are already eternal. Ye are sons of God already, and ye are eternal. And there is no condemnation to you. Jesus took away all condemnation, so you don't have to have any worry. Even when Satan is accusing you, you don't have to worry, because God substantiates not any of that. So then, someone would say, well, when we all get to heaven, heaven is where there's no condemnation. So ye that dwell in heaven, let's just praise God that we all got to heaven. Let's give it all. Somebody say hallelujah. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I wonder how we could be in heaven. Ye say that ye are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And he said that he dwells in heaven. He said, Nicodemus, the Son of Man, who is in heaven? Now, who is the body of Jesus Christ? Let me see your hands. I am the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ. For I'm dead by the body of the Lord Jesus unto sin. But by the resurrection of the new body, I am thus bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I am he that sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to sing this little chorus, I Will Praise Him. While we're singing this little chorus, let the Lord touch you. And you ladies, you learn how to clap your hands too. Can you try? You have to try, then it'll work. It'll work. All right, let's sing this little chorus together.
And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed away every stain. Once again now. So I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed away.
Once again, sing with me.
So I will pray.
I'm going to ask Chris to come up if you will and dismiss us. While Chris comes, let's search your heart. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if ye be in the faith. If we examine ourselves and judge ourselves, then the Bible says that we have no need to be judged. For when we judge ourselves, then we put away the sin and the corruption. And then we chasten ourselves through fasting and prayer and submission and repentance. And therefore we have no need to go before the judgment bar of God that we should be judged, or that anything should be laid to our charge that we should be chastened. For we are they that dwell in heaven, and we pass from death unto life. And we are completely free from all sin and condemnation. So why then should you feel bad? Why not let your faith be in full blossom, that you might make manifest to dispense this inner glory and make it manifest in your mortal genes as to the benefit of healing and salvation and strength and the wonderful blessings of prosperity, to rejoice always, ye that dwell in heaven. And as Paul said, I say unto you, rejoice, rejoice forevermore. And again, I say rejoice. And we sing that little song, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. So while you've got your hands up, and we're singing this one more time, Chris is going to come. And I will praise.